And the stories are just multiplying of people whose lives have been very strongly, markedly affected by God. And one of the things that's been on my mind this week is to make sure that we give him proper thanks for such things. We have every reason in the world to be the most thankful people on the entire world. But thankfulness is something that is cultivated. It's something that grows. And so let's take a read of Psalm 107. A number of the verses in that chapter, and then we'll touch on them. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert places, they're in spiritual wildernesses, finding no way to a city to dwell in, homeless. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul. Many people have stories to how their hearts were longing for more. Their souls were hungry, and God has put good things there. He's filled them with good things. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. So join me. Let's spend a few minutes in prayer. Joe, maybe you'll help me out here. As I said, it's been a wonderfully rich last 3 or 4 weeks. And God, our Heavenly Father, has done many wonderful things in people's hearts and lives. Would you take a minute and thank him for that? What has he done in your life? What has he done in your spouse? Your marriage? Your children? Your grandchildren? Many children have been touched by the power of God in the last 3 weeks. Many children. Maybe your mind drifts back before 3 weeks. Over the months, over the years. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. So easy are we want to be preoccupied with the next miracle, the next thing we need him to do. Tell you a secret about getting your next miracle. Spend some time dwelling on the last one. Spend some time in earnest thanksgiving. Let thanksgiving crescendo in your hearts. I spent time here 4:30 this morning, walking around giving God thanks until his presence is about just knocked me off my feet. Just giving him thanks. Showing how appreciative I am. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. Father, pour out on us a spirit of thanksgiving, so that we might offer you thanksgiving offerings. From our heart. Pour out on our heart a spirit of genuine, heartfelt thanksgiving. Thank Him. Thank Him that you even know Him when many walk in darkness. To even have the light of the knowledge of God, thank Him. Our hearts are bound with the spirit of materialism and inward looking. And sometimes we think being melancholy is being spiritual. It's not. Being thankful is. It's the very core of spirituality. One day there was Jesus, a crowd of people around Him of thousands. Jesus says to His disciples, we should feed this crowd. The disciples said, we don't have enough food. We only have this little few loaves, a couple little fish. That's all we've got. It's not enough to go around. And Jesus taught them a profound lesson. He took what little He had, what little God had provided, and He gave thanks. It wasn't enough to stretch. The Bible says He turned His head to heaven and He gave thanks for this few loaves and fish. It's not enough to change the world. It's not enough to feed the crowds. But He understood the power of prayer and particularly thanksgiving prayer. And He gave thanks for that. And when He released beautiful, genuine, heartfelt thanksgiving for the little God has provided, suddenly it multiplied and became much. So we're waiting for the much and won't give thanks for the little. And you'll never see your much, ever. I spent most of my life thinking, oh, my heart would only be happy if I had this one more thing. I have and dream about it, think about it. If I only had that one special thing and only to get it, and then within 24 hours it's lost its luster, and already I'm thinking about the next thing. I'd be so happy if I just had that one other thing. Hardly even had 24 hours to give thanks before I was already obsessing about the next thing. Something about our culture desperately lacks in thanksgiving. Desperately. And so God can do profound things in our hearts, and within a week, even a week later, the well of thanksgiving can be very little water in it. So, Father, we hold up to You. Thanks for all the things You're doing. Maybe it's not in us. Maybe it's in our friend. Maybe it's a story, someone else in our congregation. Maybe it's just stories we've heard, other people's testimonies. But they're right in this same room with us. So we give You thanks. Father, I want a thankful heart. I want to live with a thankful heart. Every day I wake up, every new day I want to give You thanks, especially that I know You. Especially thanks for the gift of Your Son. Thanks that I get to know Jesus. Thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thanks for the sense of meaning and purpose You put in life. Thank You. Thank You for Your beloved bride, the church. Thank You that we're not on this journey alone. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your care. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your steadfast love toward our hearts. Offer Him thanks. In the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 7, there was a particular offering that God's people were not obliged to make, but there was provision to make it. It's called a thanksgiving offering. There's other offerings they made to cover their sins. There's other offerings they made for other forms of worship, but there was a special offering reserved for thanksgiving. That when people wanted to show thanksgiving, there was a special offering they made. We don't do that with bulls and goats, but we do it with our heart. We do it with our words. Hallelujah. Give you a minute to offer your own thanksgiving. Thanking Him. Thank Him until your heart is thankful. Keep praying. Thanking Him. If you're believing for a miracle, then thank Him for what He's going to do. Give a thank offering before it's done. Keep just praying, because there's a real sweetness on this. Somehow in Canadian spirituality, it can get very feelings of strong melancholy. I'm not so sure it's that godly. We somehow think being spiritual is to become very introverted and inward looking. I'm not so sure it's that spiritual. The height of spirituality is to be very Him-focused. That's spirituality. Not us-focused. So a spiritual person is inclined to worship. And God is always bigger in their minds than their problem. Because they always focus on Him more than their problem. So would you take that time? There's just a sweetness in the air. Focus on Him. On His kindness, on His goodness. I told you I used to still fight it sometimes. Always think when I get the next thing, I'd be happy. But if I'm not careful, I just spiritualize that. When God does the next thing, then I'll be really happy. But then it just quickly dissolves and I feel in lack and want again. But when He does the next thing, I'll be happy. Well, for a few seconds. We just spiritualize the same tendency. Wonder. And if you can't think of anything that God has done in the last month to be incredibly thankful for, it's time to go back to the chalkboard. Press into God. So again, just before we move on, ask Him to train your heart in thankfulness. I know if you're new here today, you're like, these people do a lot of praying. Yeah, we do. A lot of praying. God answers our prayers. And we do see Him do great and powerful things. As long as we don't play games with God. The moment we think church is a dinner and a show, that's what you get. When you come and you realize we're interacting with God, He's not interested in our appearing, making a show, doing all the right things, but giving Him our heart. Then He starts going into that heart. So if you're not careful, you can just be a professional Christian. Just done it for so long. And yet if you looked in your heart, you would say to yourself, there's no life there. There's nothing there that would make a non-Christian go, I want some of what you got. So we learn to be integrous, sincere, transparent in our walk with Him. I've asked Lucille to share something with us.
I just feel like the Lord showed me a picture of a trumpet and someone standing in front of the end of the trumpet where the sound comes out, and it's loud, it's clear, and I feel like what the Lord is saying this morning is this is like a trumpet call of what God is speaking to our church, and it's pretty loud and it's pretty clear, and it's like should resonate within our hearts, this thankful virtue even of Jesus, to be thankful. And I just want us to see the importance of what is being said. It's not something just to ponder lightly, but it's quite loud And it's quite clear. So if you're not hearing that clear sound, I encourage you to put your ear to the end of that trumpet and hear what God is saying to us.
Thank you, Lucille. Let me tell you a little something that may help you understand the journey we're on. To us, services are a means to an end, not an end in themselves. Let me talk to you about ends. I want to disciple you to walk with God in a way that you experience Him in ways that you never thought possible. So part of that, I have to sniff out stuff and discern stuff that are obstacles to that happening. And speak to it sometimes. So we take the time to do that stuff. What are the stuff that allows this kind of a gap between our heart and God's? What is that stuff? Do we want to look at it? And for those in our congregation that have come to this part, they said, yeah, I want to look at it. I want it removed. I want my heart close to God's. There's not one of those people that say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But it did take some looking at. Some transparency, like, okay, talk to me. I want to see what you want me to see. But there's not one person that would say, I wish I hadn't done that. So we go on a little bit of a journey. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Okay. I know it's a little frustrating. Just get on and hold this, have the service, Todd. To be honest, we don't keep people for long who just want to do that. In other words, at the end of the service, did God move? Did God speak? Did He touch? So, to be honest, we don't keep people for long who don't want that kind of stuff. But in the last 3 weeks, there has been so many people profoundly touched that this morning I wanted to have some time to hear them. From their hearts, share. In a way, I've told them, don't deliver sermons. Don't deliver 3-4 minute sermons. Talk from your heart. What did God do? And tell it in a way that glorifies Him. Tell in a way that just draws attention to Him and what a great God He is. Because as people have these incredible stories from the last number of weeks. And I want you to be able to hear those and for us to hear them and for those to be said in a way that's like a thank offering. It's not just about them telling our story and us enjoying it. It's about us together saying, when God does great stuff in our midst, let's offer it to Him. Let's thank Him with it. So we're the kind of people He goes, I love doing stuff there. They're so thankful and they're so appreciative and it generates such worship that God just loves pouring out stuff amongst us. We're the kind of people He'd want to do that amongst. So we cultivate the kind of heart that draws stuff out of Him. Draws stuff out of Him. So He is speaking, like Lucille said. Loud and clear. And so we take to heart what He is saying. So I've got a number of people just like to come and again give us a couple minutes. What has God done in your heart in the last number of weeks? Kaylee Fisher, why don't you come and start us out? Thanks, Kaylee.
Hey, everybody. Have my little notes so I don't ramble longer than my little time here. So the week of Todd's consecration and followed by Canon was a really good one, as I know it was for many of us. I'll try and put it in a little nutshell. The main kind of thing for me was a reaffirmation of a vision, dream, calling that God has put on my life. Bishop Todd spoke of the fact that if He didn't walk out His calling with us, it would inhibit our growth and our callings, our own callings. And so I think His consecration allowed for a big release of callings within many of us. The consecration and canon, both of them left me with like the biggest experience of God's presence that I've ever felt. It was like heavy on me in the way that I couldn't stay standing at the consecration and at canon. So heavy in a good way, like not a burdensome, but just like, hey, I'm here. I couldn't even keep my head up. I just sat back in the chair, like just zonked out. And at one point just couldn't get low enough to the ground, just in total worship and surrender to him. Consecration night, I heard God say like, hey, I have big things for you. Like big things are coming. Just, they're coming. And I'm like, okay, like, all right, I'm ready for that. That sounds good. It's not something bad. But I didn't quite know what it meant though. I'm like, I'll go with this. And as Ron prayed for me, he asked for like a wall to be broken down. And I was like, okay, he's a smart guy. He knows what he's hearing. I'll go with that too. Like, I'm not really sure what wall. And I still don't really know what that wall was, but that night, felt myself reply to God saying like, I'm in it. I'm all for you. Here, like, take me. So throughout canon, it became clear that I was all in to a dream that he had placed in my heart from when I first moved here. A dream until, like, last night I was about, like, when I was thinking about what to say, it's to see my university soccer team, like, in the rows of church. I can just, like, picture it. And he's just changed that a bit and saying, hey, it's for that team to come to Christ. And I could go on about the place that the team has had in my life since I moved here. In short, like, it's just been entirely his plan. I didn't make the team the first year, and I came back and tried again. So it pushed me in that perseverance quality. I made it my second year, only to not play, which was one of the hardest things. But the way he built my character and integrity in that year was incredible. And this past year, he had so much favor on me, and I started games the day after food poisoning, but we're going to say that's actually a big old attack from the evil guy. And so I had food poisoning that night before, and I started and I played, and I continued to play for that season. The rest of the season have a big role. Let's just say his purpose that God had and has for me on that team would not be the same if I had made the team and been this star player. It's just shown me God's incredible plan for my life. And so with the theme of canon as like change a nation and to be Christ to where you are in this city and what you're doing in the city, God just hit me with this like reinvigoration of love for a team that hasn't always been easy to love. And so I just get like that week just made me so much more excited to, like, I'm envisioning this culture change of that team that has often been characterized by drama and gossip and politics. And so it's like a scary kind of process to think about being such a witness on his team, on this team. I said his team. We'll go with that too. In a secular university, but this week just showed me how much God is in it and that he'll see it through. And that even though it was hard, that he's like building that up. So he's molding me into this good and faithful servant, and he wants me to be his hands and feet in the world. And I was just overwhelmed with like the confidence he has in me for that. That you're like, yeah, when you are weak, he is strong, and you can count on that. Yeah, so canon was good. And these weeks have been, he's just instilling confidence to go forward with that. Yeah, and now I have to rush off to a soccer game.
Bye. Tyler, come and lead us in a time of thanksgiving.
Well, good morning, and for those of you who don't know me, my name is Tyler Braun. You probably know my wife, or you've seen her around, Amy. She was Amy Williams, now Amy Braun, but she did an internship here a year ago, and so she got to know many of you. And when I was asked to share a little bit just about what God has been doing in my life, and particularly during the Canon Conference, I was a little bit overwhelmed, just because this has just been a huge shift in our lives. To give you a bit of background, I, for the last 4.5 years, I've been an associate pastor in a small church north of Calgary. And Amy, before we met and eventually got married, she had been doing a lot of missions. And so just both involved in a lot of intense ministry. And as happens through life, we do take on scars and wounds just from our experiences. And, you know, we got married and we served together and we ministered together. And but during those few months after getting married, we just really felt that God was leading us to new places, not just geographically, but also in our heart. And so we, you know, we really prayed a lot about that, and we really felt that we were supposed to come to Lethbridge. And so we made the move in March. So I haven't even been a part of this church for 3 months yet, but that's kind of a bit of our background. So kind of coming up to Canada, we moved here, and it's just been, it's been a good move, but it's been hard. You know, I'm used to doing pastoral ministry, and now, you know, looking for different type of work is just is a struggle. And you know, just really feeling like I had things figured out, and now just God just showing me that that's just not the case. That He has so much more that He wants to show me and to give to me as well. So we came to the Canon Conference, and we were just actually coming off a 2-week trip to the UK, where Amy's parents live and where she's from. And that trip in and of itself was really a gift. We hadn't really planned it. It was fairly spontaneous. But in that trip, I just really, looking back, get this sense that that was really a turnaround period for us. You know, coming out of this intense season of ministry, of you know, just taking on some hurt, you know, just to have that trip to just get away and to even visit several places that I know for Amy have just really been very significant in her journey. And for me to be able to experience that and to experience that together was just really, you know, coming back was what we needed. And so we came back, and it was the lead up to the Canon weekend. And so I had been to Canon the previous year, and I knew that it was an amazing weekend. I knew that it was a weekend where God just really spoke, where the Holy Spirit moved, and, you know, you come away changed. But I didn't know what God had in store for us this year. And the conference was amazing, and God really just showed up in amazing ways. But there was part of me that was a little frustrated, because I felt like I just didn't receive that, maybe that word, or I didn't receive that revelation that I was looking for during the weekend. And yet I knew God's presence was there. But it's been interesting that in the last few weeks, God has just been just showing up in so many different ways, whether it's a word from somebody else, just speaking right into our situation. And even people that, you know, they don't know us that well yet, and yet God has just, you know, given them visions, given them a word for us. And I really just, the word that is beginning to, I guess, take form for this season is really just to receive you know, more of the Holy Spirit, and to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit that I may have never experienced before. Just a new, just revelation for me. And I know it's a journey. I know that it's the beginning of a journey. And I'm thankful to be in a place where there's that freedom to journey, that freedom to just grow. And also I just to share a little story, just coming here, one thing that I noticed right from the start was how, like, just the culture here at River of Life is one of love and affirmation. That, you know, people come up to you, and people would come up to us and just say, "We love you guys, and we believe in you, and we want to see you walk out your calling." And to be honest, when that first started happening, I felt very uncomfortable with that, and I didn't really like it, and I just felt like. Why would you say that? You know, why would you tell me that? Because you don't know me. You don't know anything about me. You've never heard me speak. You've never heard me minister. You've never seen me minister. You've never seen me do anything. And right, I was talking this out this last week, and I just realized in that moment how conditioned to earning I've become. Like how I feel the only way I can earn love, the only way I can earn value is by doing. And so it's just been, it's been an amazing journey. I know it's just the beginning, and I know that this is a season where God is going to speak into my life, to essentially erase the lies that have been written on my heart over the years, and to replace that with the truth of Christ, of what Christ sees in me, of what Christ has implanted within me. And I know Amy and myself both feel that you know, God is we know that he has a calling on our life, and we know that this is a place where we are going to, you know, discover that and rediscover aspects of that calling. And I'm just very thankful. I can truly say I'm very thankful to be where we are, where God has brought us into this community.
Chanel Coote, come and give a Thanksgiving offering.
Okay, I'm a little nervous. Just to give you a little bit of background, I think a couple months ago, Todd gave a sermon on kind of that walking in a place of discontentment and like restlessness, and it really resounded in my heart. I remember talking to him after the service and saying, I feel like I'm in that place. I want more with the Lord, and I don't know where I'm going at this point. But it was really encouraging to understand that that wasn't a bad place. Like, God was actually working in me in that place to bring about new growth and new life. And so the weekend prior to Todd's consecration, my husband Jeremy and I attended a weekend at IHOP in Kansas City, which is the International House of Prayer. And leading up to it, I just felt that God had a real time of, like, just soaking in him for us during that weekend. So we, I think Sean LeClaire actually prayed over us before we left, and he said, or he prayed that God would deposit things into our hearts that we could bring back to the church from that weekend. So we got to Kansas and were able to just soak in the Lord. And during that time, someone prayed over us while we were there and said that they felt we had come with a burden for our church and a burden for our city and our nation. And that resounded in our hearts, both of us, hugely. We just felt that God was hearing that cry of our hearts. And so we continued to spend time with him in that weekend that we were there. And he started to just deposit pieces into my heart and mind of things that he had gifted me, like in Bible school, which is 10 years ago. And things that I had kind of lost over the last 10 years. And specifically, a way that he speaks to me. And during that time in Bible school, he really spoke to me in pictures and words. And I haven't experienced that a lot in the last, especially the last few years with him. And I've been craving that. And so he gave me that a little bit while we were in Kansas. And I was really excited to just continue to hear from him in that way. So we came back to Todd's consecration, which was absolutely amazing. The Holy Spirit was so evident during that time. And going into the weekend of Canon, I just felt like, I, without any other word, I just felt like you were kind of high on the Lord. Like, just allowing myself to just stay in his presence from the weekend prior to Todd's consecration to walking into Canon. So I was really excited about what God had in store and just open to everything that he wanted to speak over us. So Friday night, Todd spoke about many things, but one of the things was about revival of our nation. And during his talk, just felt like a huge burden on my heart for, again, for our church, for our city, for our nation, and specifically just seeking the Lord to increase his burden in me for the brokenhearted, the people that are experiencing the hurt and the pain, and that he wants to bring healing there. And so I just spent some time just weeping in the Lord to increase that burden in my heart for those people. And I was up at the front praying, and Chad actually came in. I'm going to back up a little bit. As I was praying, the Lord gave me a picture. And this, I'm just going to share it with you quickly, because I think it wasn't just for me, but the picture that he gave me was of a bomb going off, and specifically in my mind, I could think of, like, the atomic bomb. It was huge, and it detonated in a very large area and spread rapidly, and I could see people in the area who, just like the atomic bomb, like, their clothing was actually seared into their skin. And I felt like the Lord was saying that these pieces of clothing and searing of the skin was representing, like, the pain and the hurt and the brokenness that so many are experiencing right now, but that the bomb actually wasn't a bad thing. Like, and so I just continued to listen to him in this and just seek him about what he wanted to show me in this picture. And he said, when a bomb goes off, especially the atomic bomb, nothing grows in that area. It's dead. There's no life there. And never will be. But he said, this is different. He's like, this bomb is different. And all of a sudden, I just saw, like, huge shoots of new growth coming out of this middle place of where this bomb had detonated, and growing rapidly and fast, and not just, like, small little flowers, but, like, just really huge shoots of new growth. And so I came up to just pray about this, and Chad came over and felt that the Lord was speaking Isaiah 61 over me. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And it goes on to talk a little bit more, and then at the very end it says, for as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up from all the nations. And I just felt like that was a huge confirmation of a word that the Lord was giving me about this picture. And I was just so thankful in that moment just to see that he was beginning to bring me out of that place of restlessness, and not understanding my call, because I feel like he's really bringing me and Jeremy and all of us into a real time of just restoring to the brokenhearted and to our church and to our city and to our nation. And so I'm just really excited and thankful for what the Lord is doing. And I specifically wanted to share today because I felt like this wasn't just for me, and I just want it to be an encouragement to the body, because I know that the work that he's doing in me is also being done in you. And so I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. John Murdo. Where's John Murdo Nicholson? Come on, big man.
Everybody has said that Canon Conference was huge to them, and I just want to reiterate that in my own life as I testify to what God's done over these last couple of weeks, and huge healing has taken place in my heart and my soul, and I just feel life again that I haven't felt for many a long year. It's hard to believe a year ago today, my son in Scotland died. He was 24 years of age. And last year was a time of absolute devastation and hopelessness and despair and times where I was angry with God, times I asked God why, times I said to God, I will never walk with you again, I will walk away from you. How could you do this? And I was just thinking over all these things that have taken place. It really is wonderful to see how God can touch a life in the darkest time and restore a soul and bring hope and peace and joy again. Many things happened over Canon, which I am really thankful for. The consecration service on the Wednesday night was huge, and there was such a sense of the Spirit. I've been in many churches over the years, served in the Church of Scotland. I've been in charismatic churches of Scotland. I've been in charismatic churches in Scotland and in England. But I've never felt the Holy Spirit move like I did on that Wednesday night. And then the days after, it was huge, absolutely huge. On a Sunday morning, as a Christian, I've always struggled with feeling the pleasure of God in my life. I always felt that God was somehow displeased with me as a father. I knew Jesus Christ, the Son, as my Savior, what he did for me on Calvary, how he washed away my sins. I knew the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and the power of the Holy Spirit. But God the Father was a different matter. I just couldn't get my head around that. I always felt that in some way he was slightly disappointed with me, wasn't quite pleased with me. I was here in 2005 with Debbie, and Todd was mentoring this for a month. And I remember I was baptized in the old sanctuary, which is the gymnasium today. And when I came out of the waters of baptism, God spoke to me as clearly as I'm speaking to you just now. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But I couldn't accept that. There was something in me saying, you're a disappointment. The Sunday morning of Canon, I felt the pleasure and the affirmation and the love of my Father in a way that I've never done before. And it sealed it for me that Sunday morning. Absolutely sealed it. My Father loves me and is pleased with me. And it doesn't matter what I've done in life, how many mistakes I've made, he still loves me. We were at Matt and Rebecca's wedding here, was it last Saturday, a week last Saturday, and Todd was preaching on our identity in Christ as believers. And he said, before Jesus ever taught, performed a miracle, cast out a demon, God said to him, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It's not about performance. And so much of what I've done in my life is about pleasing others. Doing the right thing, saying the right thing, being in the right places, making sure I'm at all the meetings. But I needed to know it's not about performance, it's about God's love for me, who I am in Him. And it's eternally secure, and nothing will separate me from His love. That was Sunday morning. I think it was Sunday night. The service was absolutely fantastic. And the worship was fantastic. Everything was just, I was seeing things in a different light. Everything about River of Life was just better than I've ever known before. And this wonderful little lady from Florida, Jackie, I call her the pocket rocket of the Holy Spirit. She sort of floated over towards me and she said, "Can I pray for you?" Debbie had been speaking to her and she'd been praying for Debbie. But she came over and she prayed for me. And she just said, "Just may the Lord restore to you His joy." I said, "The last maybe 5 to 7 years haven't been easy for me. It's been a wilderness. It's been a desert. It's been dry in my soul. And I was not happy." And but the joy of the Lord came back to me after she prayed. And I remember sitting down with a good friend, Jody, and he looked at me and I started laughing. And he started laughing. And I laughed even more. Now, I'm a Scottish Presbyterian. You do not laugh in church. You know, you might laugh at a little joke, but you do not go on laughing in church. And could I stop? The more I tried to stop, the more I laughed. And just the joy that I felt in my heart. And that has continued. And I feel that I have life back. I feel I have life back. And I am thankful today. I am thankful because this is God's doing and marvelous in my eyes. I've spent many an hour with counselors. Todd's counseled me. Ron's counseled me. Ken's counseled me. My wife's counseled me for hours after hours. But something shifted. When it's God's time, when it's God's moment, He can lift you out of the season you're in and things will change forevermore. And we're waiting on God just now and seeking God for going back to Scotland for a visit. And not just to see my parents who are getting elderly and health issues, but we believe there's eternal things for us there to do in God's purposes, to go back to Egypt and to see His people set free. And William Wallace is getting ready for that, so looking forward to it.
Melissa Strobe.
Hello. My name is Melissa Strobe, and I've been attending here for about 6 years, married to Dave. We do the kids program, grade school 1 through 5. And I think canon, for me, one of those things in my life that I'll always look back to and say, I'll never be the same after that. There's a few of those that I have in my life, and that most of them have been actually painful things. This was one of those things that was really monumental in the best way. And I think when Todd was talking about thankfulness and the answered prayer, that was really what I had received a lot of, was I had had this idea of like laboring in prayer, that I had things that I've been praying about for years. And they were answered in that weekend, to the point where things that I prayed the night before were answered in the morning, to things that I prayed in the back row 20 minutes later were answered in prayer in the front. And the encouragement was to keep asking and keep asking, to go deeper, to ask for more, to think bigger. On the Wednesday night of the consecration, I find that I risk a little more at conferences. I'm not really a risk taker. I kind of do the calculated risk. Can I manage the fallout of that risk? But at conferences, especially when, you know, Ron comes up with his team, you really don't know what's going to happen. It's a risk going up, you know. You just don't know what's going to happen. And so kind of bolster, you know, pleading for more boldness and more courage in that. And so I went, and the first night, you know, expecting the Lord, Ron told me that my heart was closed. and that was just not super encouraging. And to the best of my ability, I really felt like, in my humanness, like my heart is as open as it can be. This is as good as it gets. And it felt like it was a diagnosis. And I went home and I cried and cried and cried and cried. And it wasn't his intent. I don't fault him for it at all. It was one of those things that was the whisper of a promise that he was going to do for me. And that night before bed, the last thing that I remembered was, it has been a long time since I laughed, till I cried. And I could acknowledge that there was deadness in my heart. And over the weekend, I really felt like it wasn't a diagnosis. It was a promise. He was bringing me out of that place. Yes, you have this in your heart. You have dead spots in your heart. I'm going to bring you out of that. It was a promise. And I had been asking for that. And it started all the way back in November at the healing conference. And he's put people in my path in the body to encourage me and to bring me along. And I am so thankful for that. So thankful that he uses the body in that way. The next night we were out with some friends and we had a guy staying with us. His name was Sam. Some of you got to meet him, Sam Emerson, just great guy. And we were coming back from the cop's house and my husband drives this ridiculous farm truck, which is not, maintained very well. The wipers don't work and it's raining. Well, the wipers occasionally work. So it's raining and Sam's got 5 kids and I've got 6 kids and so there's a high accountability here. Like, a lot of fatherless kids if Dave crashes. And, so we just started joking, which is kind of what we do when things are uncomfortable. We're like, oh, we got to go back. We got to go back and have Bishop Todd anoint our vehicle. And, making jokes. And Todd pulls up beside us and the wipers start working. Yeah, it was. It was, praise God. Then he got a little too far ahead of us. And it was, we got to go. We got to go. And he would pull into our lane and the wipers would start working. And it was like, we have to be in the wake of Bishop Todd to get home safely. And I laughed until I cried. Weeping. And I just thought, you are too good to me. Too good to me. And the entire weekend, his goodness was so prevalent. It took me an hour to journal everything. I actually had fear that I was going to miss something. Because he was that good. I got to see a healthy representation of gifts. I got exposure to different gifts. There's room for you here in your gifts. Like, we're coming into a place where there's room for you. I really felt like in November, Ken, in one of the healing sessions, something sort of came up where I'm shirt tailing. With my husband, I kind of felt like I was being drug into the kingdom by my husband. That's how I was getting in there. And that settled in really, with the gravity that is. It was like, but had been praying into that over the months. And I really felt at Canon that, I played sports in high school. I played a lot of basketball and what I saw was a bench and there's a lot of us on the bench, feeling like we're kind of second string. And there's lots of different reasons that you're on the bench, one is that you choose to be there or you're not ready to get out. Sometimes it's, discipline or, but hope deferred. If you're on the bench for too long, you don't want to go out and play, even if the invitation is there. And, I received my invitation, my personal invitation, that it wasn't about my husband and about his call, that he has good things for me. And I have to receive those things and get off the bench. He's put people all around us all to encourage us. And if the invitation has to come from you, from someone in leadership, then, you might miss that. If we all can open up our hearts a bit more and go with the invitations that we have been given to things like community group, like even for dinners, to risk a little more than we've been risking. His goodness is good enough. I had lived a lot of my life in self-protection. I'd rather be protected with the goodness of the Lord, trusting that, he's a good coach. If we're going to get off the bench, we've got the best coach. And we've got great captains. It's okay to risk a little. So that's my story.
That was beautiful. Isn't that a rich meal? No wonder the book of Revelation says, we'll defeat him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimonies. Okay. Powerful. Powerful. One last thing. Rob and Sarah Steele have been with us for 2.5 years. And the time is approaching that they will be moving back to Regina, Saskatchewan, to plant a church. And so we don't want to pray for them on their kind of last Sunday they're here. We'd like to drag it out painfully. And like to just get them to say a few words. And then we're going to pray for them today as their time is getting really, really close. Rob, will you come and share?
Hi, guys. It has been our privilege to be here for the last 2.5 years. I felt like when we were praying and being thankful and thanking the Lord for all the things that are happening, I felt like I actually feel like I could go on forever just over the last 2.5 years. I said it kind of as a joke after the 9 o'clock when I came up and talked that I didn't really know what to say. So I just said, I'm thankful for everything. But I really feel like that. And, the work that the Lord has done in my heart and in the heart of Sarah is something that we wouldn't trade for anything. And we know we had to be here with you and with this church, with this leadership team to see that happen. And it has been wonderful. I've been told my whole life that I was supposed to do something great, and I felt just pressure with that my whole life, and never known what to do, and didn't feel that great, and I feel like now, like the Lord just for the last 2.5 years said, you don't have to be great. I just want you to be my son. And I'm so thankful to know that I'm God's son and to have that right in my heart. And now I actually believe that something great's going to happen. I believe that the things that the Lord has been showing us and the things the Lord has put on my heart since I was a little kid for Saskatchewan are coming to pass. And I'm excited to send back reports when the Lord moves in Regina when we go back. And I just want to thank you for being there for us and being our church and our family. And we couldn't be here and at this place without any of you. Even if we don't really know you, you are a part of us because we've walked this out together. And we really, truly thank you.
So can I get Rob's family? And also, who's coming with you?
Oh yeah. Sorry, I was supposed to say this already. Joel and Amy Fulton are moving with us to Regina, and we are so happy to steal them. We are stealing them. We're not letting them stay, even if they want to. They've kind of put everything on the line for this. I know there's been a lot of talk about us and not a lot about them, but they've actually put their whole life on hold for this and really deserve credit, I guess, for that. And they would be the last people to do that. I would never want to be up here saying that. So I'll say it for them. They have already done that and are continuing to do that. And they need a lot of prayer because the Lord has a lot to work out before they get to come. And we want them soon. And so we're really excited and like I said, we're excited to steal them away. So they're going to come up and get prayed for with us, if you guys can come.
I'm surrounded by people that have much stronger callings than me, Some of us have callings to win a province. Some of us, it's windshield wipers. What do? You just do the best with what you got. This is a kind of, this is a big day, a big period for our church. When the church was founded many, many years ago, the congregation, the elders spoke at length about church planting. When I came here and got to know the church is calling its destiny, I used to always hear this about church planting, and we never planted a church. I called it the most unexplored part of our destiny. You realize there's things that are true about you, they're just not true yet. But you can't give up on them. So here this is many, many years later for us as church. And now, in addition to these young couples, there's more than I'd want to point out right now who all want to go plant churches or go with someone to plant a church in the next years. We don't even really speak about it. I mean, it's the God is putting this on people's hearts. So there's new people coming online. Were speaking to me yesterday, and they said they'd almost be embarrassed to tell me who all wants to come with them. I said it wouldn't. I said if 30 or 50 people wanted to come with you, we would bless that. If you took 30 of our best, we'll release them with joy. So it's kind of starting a new phase for us, and we want to make them feel our every support on every level. So can I get some of you to come pray? Maybe some of the elders that are here, and let's come pray for them. And why don't we all stand to our feet, and will you extend a hand toward this couple? Is a big thing that's happening. It'll be the first of many. Hallelujah. Ryan, will you start us in prayer?
So, Father, we wholeheartedly begin with thankfulness that you have given these two couples to us over these years. It has been a joy to be family with them. And it has been a joy to laugh and to cry, to pray and worship and together. And so, Father, we thank you for the gift of these years. We thank you for this gift. And so, Father, as we offer up them to you with thankfulness, we ask that in this simple act, that they would be multiplied as they go. To hundreds and to thousands. With the blessing of the Almighty God upon His Son be upon them. And the phrase that I felt the Lord was giving me this morning for you guys was that, it sounds kind of weird, but you're the first of the sons of the way. And just that, like that the early church was called the way, and that our hope is to be, to walk in the footsteps of the apostolic church. And that in you guys going that, that you're a son of the way.
Father, thank you for your good and perfect will. Hallelujah. Thank you that you sent Rob here and Sarah here. And Joel and Amy. Thank you. You grafted them in with us. And thank you, we got the pleasure and the honor to serve them, to train them, support them, equip them. Thank you for the enormous honor to release them, to send them. And we are not diminishing our support, but increasing it. Hallelujah. So, Lord, as a congregation, we lay hands on them. And we send them in Jesus' name. Like the ancient church of Antioch, where the Spirit said, set apart for me Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I've called them. We've heard your voice saying, set apart for me Joel and Amy, Rob and Sarah. Set apart for me them for the work to which I have called them. It says, and they laid hands on them and they sent them on their way full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Fill them with your Spirit, O God. Hallelujah. Put your seal on this church plant. Put your shoulder to it. Your anointing and Spirit upon it. Watch over their hearts that the work would not be burdensome, but light and fun. Be your Spirit and power that does all the work. They would be caught up in your draft. And so in Jesus' name we approve of you. We love you. Believe in you. Support you. Send you. We pray that what the Father is doing in our midst would be in you and would multiply. The increase of God's presence, the increase of His Spirit, the increase of the ancient apostolic anointing, the increase of the prophetic, the increase of the evangelistic. Hallelujah. The increase of the supernatural. Upon you and upon your children. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 On. You've heard Corey and Jody talk about we are believing for them for a base to use for this church plant. It seems like for the first couple of years, a house is probably gonna serve as the best base for that church plant. Some of our businessmen have been looking into ways to secure that for them. We've already had $33,000 given toward a down payment, and we only need about $55,000. But the thing we're lacking, and we're still trying to figure out how to do it and legalities and mortgages. We're trying to figure out, we need a co-signer really. Just because they had to leave everything to get ready for the church plant. They had to sell their house. They lost, of course, you live off the savings. They move from cities and go on a small stipend while you train. So you get out of the job market. And so they don't have the pay stubs necessary to get a substantial mortgage anymore. So I asked Corey, what's the first thing the Lord said to you this week? And let's go back to what did he say to you? And he felt the business were meant to help them get up a down payment and that there might be someone that would be interested in co-signing that. So we'll just leave that out there in case the Lord speaks to you. Get a hold of us this week. Or Corey. Can you, Corey, are you still there? Stand up. He's already left, yeah. He's out in the foyer raising funds probably. Okay. When we send someone, we want to send them out in style. So we'll start with a church planting fund. That's how it's going to work. And so there'll be money given into that fund. That fund will be able to help church planters. And if it's to do with a house or something, it will probably come in form of a loan that will help them get started and will be paid back into a fund. So we're still roughing out what that would look like. But it would help people get there started. And so we want to make sure that when we send people out, that our support and love is tangible. And that they don't feel like they're just all out there by themselves trying to do something against all the odds, but that we're doing that with them. And so for many of you, you're going to be in that spot one day, and you're going to think, boy, are we ever glad we helped that first couple, because you're going to be the next one or the one after that. And so you'll be glad that we've sought to do it right from the first one. Well, let's pray. It's a lot that has taken place. These people who told their stories were just a sample of all the stories we could have told today. And you can't reproduce that. You can't just make that stuff happen. You just pray. And ask God to do the kinds of things that only He could do. And then you give thanks. Because only He could do it. So let's end where we started. Give Him thanks. Give Him a thank offering. Let's have the kind of hearts that thankfulness flows easily. We don't have to be in the right mood to thank Him. Thankfulness. Sometimes I know we want to wait and we see twice as much as we've seen, then we'll be thankful. It never works. It's like the person who says, when I get enough material things, I'll never want another material thing. It never works. You have to be thankful first. You're thankful first and it releases all kinds of great things. So yes, we want to see more. John Murdo talked about a tough year, brokenheartedness. As he told that, many of you thought, that's what I feel like. That's what my last years have felt like. Then give thanks for his story today. Give thanks for the way your story is going to have a great ending. Give thanks before it happens. There's something about faith that you're so assured of a good outcome. You're so assured of God's nature. You can give thanks beforehand. So, Father, thank you. We can't make great things happen in people's lives. Only you can. But the least we could do is give you proper thanks. Thank you. Thank you for tears. And thank you for joy. And thank you for stories. Thank you. But we've only just seen the beginning. like a wave that's building. We're just in the earliest stages. So we want to begin the way we intend to go on. Father, we give you a thank offering today. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.